We talk so much about the problems of violence. We rarely have the opportunity to talk to people who've been touched by that violence. Back on the first day of February, in an extremely peaceful neighborhood in the southwestern part of Washington Township, kind of near Kessler and 38th Street, 13-year-old went to a birthday party, was inside the house. Some fool with a weapon shot the weapon. A bullet went through the house and severely wounded DeAndre Knox. His mom really didn't want him to go. It was the first time he ever went to a party. And I know every mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa have that fear the first time you let your one of your children go somewhere where you're not there to protect them. And Sister DeAndre Yates went through Hades. She went through what Job went through. She went through what a lot of families, not just in this city, but across this country, have gone, whether it's Newtown, whether it's Sandy Hook, whether it's Columbine, wherever. I will let her tell you how her son is doing. But more importantly, somebody's know what happened outside that house. They know who did it. Or if they don't, they know what who did it looked like. But they acting like Olivia Pope and the Gladiators and Jake and them did last night on Scandal, seeing and knowing sin and not telling somebody this. That, and that's play life. This is real life. And I'm privileged to welcome here in the studio to our microphones a mom, DeAndre Yates. Ms. Yates, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Amos.
Let me first ask, how is he, your son, doing?
DeAndre's doing well.
He's at home?
He's at home.
Amen.
Yes, he's home. He's been home for about 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is still rough.
Yes. It's very rough because he's not the DeAndre that he was prior to February 1st.
Is he able to speak, or has he still got one of the thing in his trachea?
Yes, he still has a trach, so he's not able to speak. He does try to mouth to us, but nothing comes out yet.
Any indication, and forgive me for phrasing this way, and I mean no disrespect, any indication of whether any of the old DeAndre has been lost?
Yes.
There's no good way to say that, and I apologize
for
that. Yeah,
there's not an easy way to say that, but he's still Dre, but as far as personality-wise, I believe he's still Dre, but when you think of activities and limitations and things like that, he's not the same right now.
Tell us about him.
He wasn't a perfect teenager, but he was a great kid, honor student. They actually sent his honor roll plaque to the ICU unit when he was in the hospital. Played football, basketball. He played his first and only game of his seventh grade year 2 days before the shooting. He's my firstborn. Just the love of my life. I have two boys, and he's the oldest, and just my heart.
How's his brother taking it?
He's better. Now, it's been rough for all of us to see such a dramatic change, you know, right before our eyes. But he's doing better. He's 9 years old, so the best that he can, he's handling it well. He stays strong for mommy.
Have the folks with IMPD and Victims Assistance, are they doing all that they can do?
I assume so.
Okay.
I assume so.
Are there some things you'd like to, that they should be doing, you think? And the only reason I'm not trying to embarrass them or embarrass you, but one of the things, if we're having a real community conversation about stopping this madness, one of my concerns is making sure that the families of victims, you know, are getting all the help they need. You know, a lot of times you hear, somebody in the workplace or in a school passes away, and then the counselors are coming out to help you. And I just, you know, and sometimes I think that when these things happen to folks in our community, those counselors aren't there. That help is not there. And sometimes it can be 6 months down the road, a year down the road, where you might, you know, these families might need a shoulder to cry on, somebody to talk to, somebody to just yell at, who just sit there and say, yeah, we know, we know. You know, are there other things you think we as a community ought to be doing to help other families, help folks like you, other families?
Well, if there was things like that that the police department could do, I wouldn't know anything about.
Okay.
I didn't know, because none of that's been offered to us. However, I have a great family and friends support. So my family has been by my side 110%, as well as all my closest friends. So, I mean, that's been above and beyond for me.
We're so used as a society that the crime is solved in 54 minutes before the commercials. And here we are on the 21st day of March, and there's no leads in this? Or is it folk know and they being like Olivia and them, and they ain't saying nothing?
I believe that that's the answer. So 49 days later, and not one person has been questioned. Few people have been interviewed, I would say, but no one has been brought into questioning once names have been given. I do know that.
Does anybody know whether the police, because sometimes in a crime you may have seen somebody, but maybe you don't know their name. Has anybody, you know, asked the police to call these folk in and say, describe for me what you saw? You don't know a name, but okay, let's get the artist there, get the sketch artist, get the computer, and, you know, try to draw somebody to look like who they might have seen.
I have not heard that that's taken place. I've heard that names have been given, but they have not been brought into custody. That's the extent. Our detective, he's done a fairly well job of keeping in contact with us, but of course he can't give us all the information. But I know the names that we've heard of a suspect, we've turned over to him, and he's also received those same names, but nobody has been brought in.
And I'm glad to know that the detective is following up, you know, with you. Does Dre remember what happened?
Medically, I've been told he probably would not remember anything prior to that day, as far as activities and things in his life.
On that, for the whole of his life, or just around that time?
Around that time.
Okay.
I feel strongly that he knows who I am and his brother and his grandparents and, you know, immediate family.
Right.
But any memories that he may have, I wouldn't quite know what he remembers at this time.
And and my friends at Riley have been strong in working with you all.
Yeah, Riley was great. The nurses, the staff was outstanding, actually, taking care of my son. Yes.
If there's people listening that know who did it, know of somebody that knows who did it, What would you say to them? I mean, I don't want to frighten you by saying how many people are actually listening right now, but there's more than the 5 or 6 people that are in this immediate room.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them?
To the parents who are afraid to let their child speak, because that's what I'm hearing the detective is going through. Parents will not allow their children to talk with him. I would just beg them for 1 second to put themselves in my shoes, that February 1st, prior to midnight, I had an athletic, handsome, strong 13-year-old son who had a whole lot of dreams and aspirations. And someone selfishly has tried to take those away. That bullet was random. It was not meant for DeAndre. DeAndre had no confrontation, and that has been confirmed over and over again. And I know my son, so I know that there was no confrontation. It was a random bullet that flew through a window. that for some reason chose my son and has altered his life and my life greatly. There was a child sitting next to my son who my son, I've been told, fell into his lap and bled on him. Which means that if the bullet would have went to the left or to the right, that could have been somebody else's child. However, that mother will not let her child be interviewed. If the shoe was on the other foot, I'm sure she would be begging me to please let DeAndre say something. What did you see, DeAndre? What did you hear? So I'm asking that mother and any other mother who had a child there to just put themselves in my shoes. When I get off work and go home every day, my son is laying in a hospital bed, and I am so grateful to God that he is still here, because that night they counted him out. And like I said, 49 days later, he's considered stable. He's actually, you know, in great condition for what happened to him. So I'm not trying to take away from that. However, he's not the same. And if you get off work every day and you see your child laying in a bed, he cannot speak to me. He cannot walk. He has limited activity of his limbs. Wouldn't you want somebody to say something to bring some sort of justice, to give you some sort of peace of mind? That's all that I'm asking. For all those parents who are telling the detectives their kids can't talk, they won't let them talk. I just don't see how they deem that to be fair. And I know it's hard to understand when it's not your child. But I know I've felt pain for people who have had children who have been injured, murdered. You have some kind of heart that you would just let them speak. Just think, if it was you, like I said, the bullet could have went to the left or to the right, and it easily could have been somebody. It could have been that child who DeAndre fell into their lap.
Let me see. Let me see if I understand this. You're telling me that someone that was inside the house, as close, almost as close to your son as I am to you in this studio, their parents won't even let them talk to the police just to say what they heard and saw that February 1st night?
They will not.
And we're not talking about somebody outside. We're talking about somebody that was there.
That was there. They will not let them speak.
You know what I want to say, but I'm on the airwaves and I don't think Ms. Hughes would. She'd probably say it off the air outside the microphone, but she would not. We'll take a break, open the phone lines a little briefly, because I might throw something here in a minute. 239-1310, 239-1310. We're talking with a brave mom of a braver young man. Mm-hmm. We'll be back after these. With DeAndre Yates, mom of DeAndre Knox, 239-1310, we're also joined by Nicole McGee, who lost someone to violence last year. 239-1310. Let me go to Sherry and Ron. I'm still trying to calm down from before I took the break. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I am DeAndre's aunt. And the night that this happened, my daughter, Katie, went to get DeAndre. DeAndre was screaming and in so much pain. And I have never seen her like that. She's so much of a bright young lady. And it's just like someone has taken her world away from her. And whoever knows about this, God knows, Amos, they should speak up. Because that young man was a bright A student. And it seems like they wiped the whole entire heart out of both of them. And it's so dirty and low down that the parents will not let their child speak up on this. And I just want to say I love her so very much. And I love her. I love my nephew. And I love my daughter and everybody that has been praying. Because you just don't know. This has turned her world inside out. And I just love her so much.
I appreciate that. Let me go to Ron at 239-1310. Hi there.
Amos?
Yeah?
Stuff like this just tears people's hearts out, like the lady said. Amos, for the mother there, I can only wish and hope and pray that God gives you comfort during this time until he can give you your son back. Amos, this is what we do to us. This ain't white people. This is why I constantly say, this is how we treat each other. I don't see how come Al Sharpton ain't down here bringing up a meeting or a march. I don't see how come we didn't have a march. But Amos, this is how we treat us. This is not how white people treat us. This is us killing us. Ma'am, I pray God's blessings for you and your family.
Thank you.
All right, let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Yes, it's a shame, man, that the parents of them kids that were there, and they want to let their kids talk to the police and see what's going on. See, that's the part of the problem today. Parents know what's going on, and they won't tell the police what's going on. Thanks.
I appreciate it, and I might have to talk to some of my lawyer friends because I know I'm just an honorary lawyer, but I know in the law, if police are investigating something and an adult isn't cooperating with the police, they can get a subpoena, they can mandate you to show up for questioning, and then you have the right to be there with the counsel, and you have the right with your counsel there to say, I'm not answering the questions under the Fifth Amendment, and young people have that right through their parents, but... the police they got to explain this to me, why they wouldn't call them and the parents in. And if the parent wants to, the kid wants to invoke their Fifth Amendment rights, they have the right to do that. But at least that would move it along and everybody would know what's going on. Let me go to another Anonymous. Hi there. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Anonymous. I'm DeAndre's auntie, her mom's sister.
Okay.
And I know what my niece is going through. We have been there with her, as she said, and her family. If you know something, say something.
Hello.
Because it hurts us just as much as it hurts DeAndre. Dre has been, he's just my favorite. He's just a good young man. And I don't think no family, to go through what we're going through when there's someone walking around here to know something. And I love you, DeAndre, and you know who I am. Love you, girl, and you are doing awesome.
All right. She appreciates that. She got a big smile on her face on that one. Let me go to Trina. Hi there.
I'm Trina, and I'm DeAndre's friend. It really tears me up and hurts me so bad because I have a son the same age as Dre. I'm actually here with Dre now, and DeAndre knows that I love her, and I just wish someone would please say something, because it's my friend, and we actually been friends since elementary, and when my friend hurts, I hurt. So ever since the day it happened, my life has changed also. Because I've been there for her ever since it's happened, and I'm going to be here until Dre starts playing football and basketball again, and he will do that. Because we believe in God, and if you don't have that, you don't have anything. So, DeAndre, you know that I love you, and I just wish someone, you have to have a heart, someone, please allow your child to speak, please.
Trina? Since you're there with DeAndre, when you hang up, would you go and squeeze his hand on behalf of all of us that are listening on the radio and tell him that we all love him and that we're praying for him and that he will get through this just as we've had our servicemen and women who've been gravely wounded and they have gotten through this. He will get through this. So would you squeeze his hand for all of us?
I sure will.
All right.
Yes, I will.
All right. Thank you so much. 239-1310. Let me go to Counselor Joe Simpson because he hangs around with attorneys. Joe Simpson, is there a legal reason why young people cannot be compelled to at least undergo questioning in the presence of their parents, in the presence of an attorney?
Don't know, Amos, but, you know, I will reach out to our attorney and definitely ask him that question. He just walked out of the room when you brought that up. But I will definitely ask him that and get back with you. But the reason I'm calling is to the mom to let her know that God is with you. and he loves you. And sometimes things do happen, but I want you to understand that all things will come to the light. You just have to be patient and continue to have faith in him, because you're going to need it. And I know that everybody's praying, and prayers do work. So I just want to let her know that I don't know her, but I want her to know that I'm a parent too. And I had a nephew who got pretty much injured. Great kid, got in a car accident, had to take the top of his head off, you know, because his brain just swelled up, and he's fine today. But we all still love him the same way, and I just want you to understand this, to show the love to him, and he'll appreciate that more than anything else. So God bless you.
All right, appreciate that. 239-1310, back to the phones. And Michelle, hi there.
First, I want to say God bless you, and I'm praying for your son, you and your son, and I'm behind you 100%. But playing devil's advocate here, mm-hmm. do you think that maybe the parents are scared that maybe their kids will be retaliated against, and that's the reason that they're not speaking up?
That is an interesting question, you know, and that's a positive devil's advocate. And do we need, on the assumption that maybe what Michelle is talking about has some credibility, do we need, as a community, to insist that law enforcement, that we provide that kind of protection to parents and young people, so that the people can feel confident that if you tell the truth, there's not going to be any backlash to that? DeAndre, Nicole?
I'm not sure
okay.
if they have the proper protection for these children, or if these mothers will feel safe. My case is very different than hers.
Right.
So everyone has been very cooperative with my son's case.
Okay, and he passed, what was
my son was murdered June 17th, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 9 months, 5 days ago to this day.
Mm.
His name was Andre Antoine McGee.
Mm.
And the only similarity is no altercation of his own. It was not his confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was someone else's issues that they were having at a nightclub.
Right.
And my son got shot one time and died, mm-hmm. age 24.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point, he was pronounced dead at 2:48 a.m. The young man that, the man that killed my son was detained, arrested within a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this man, Trayvor Condon, he's still detained. He's from California. He was only here for a weekend and changed his whole life and my entire family's life.
Mm-hmm.
Trayvor is a white man that killed my son.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it's a white on black crime or anything, because I just feel my son was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
My son was not a felon, was not in trouble, no probation. And Chief Heights said that most of the victims that are getting killed, 70% have already committed crimes and are felons.
Did that pain you when you heard that?
It pained me. Not for me. I was proud because my son was not one of the 70%, just like
right.
DeAndre was not one of the 70%. So just by him saying that and knowing I'm of the 30%,
mm-hmm.
I feel that Indianapolis police have not let me down from the time I made it to the scene, from the chaplain to the detective.
Mm-hmm.
To no one has... they have not let me down.
Has the individual has he been brought to trial? Has he been?
Trial is supposed to start in April, but you know they continue it,
yeah.
and they continue
right.
it.
So we'll I have to say allegedly.
Yeah, until, allegedly, right. Yeah,
you know, you can say anything you want to, but I got to say allegedly.
Right.
239-1310. Let me go to Brother Rod Bohannon, who is an attorney. Rod, under the law, I know adults can be compelled to testify or be questioned by police, and they can exercise their Fifth Amendment rights. So what are the rights of juveniles?
Well, ju- juveniles, I mean, if they let the kid is 17 or older, you know, younger than that, the parents step in if you have a kid. Now, the parents can't waive those kids' constitutional rights. So the parents will say to the police officer, unless you have an order to appear or, you know, the subpoena to testify or something like that, I'm not letting you interview my kid.
Mm. So that is permissible under the law?
Yeah. I mean, it's like anybody else. The police want to interview the kids, and parents decide they don't want the police to interview the kids. They can say, sorry, do you have something showing that they've been subpoenaed to testify? Subpoena in terms of to appear to give testimony. Subpoena in terms of deposition. No, I do not. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Investigator. I know you're trying to do something, but guess what? I'm not letting you interview my child.
So
they may well say something that could incriminate them.
So if the prosecutor opened a grand jury to investigate the circumstances of this shooting, then a grand jury can subpoena.
Yes, grand jury can subpoena, and the question would be if that kid then had the right to, if they are subject of the grand jury, do I go and turn a grand jury because they want me information for a crime? I mean, that will be a call between those parents and their attorney,
right,
as to why they want this kid to appear at a grand jury. Again, you have to understand that in a criminal proceeding, you can't be compelled to give information
about
yourself.
Right.
And so I can see why, and I usually tell parents, you know, all the time, stop being trying to be helpful because you may very well put your kids in trouble. And it happens all the time. You see it in a school situation, exposed suspension.
Mm.
Parents are trying to be helpful, and what they wind up doing is giving information to the schools. School turns around and says, well, I'm expelling your kid. And the parents say, why? So you just gave me information about what behavior the kid was. We didn't know.
Okay. All right, like I said, you've clarified that, and I appreciate that for calling in, Rod. Let me go to Anna right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. The lady and her son has gotten shot. When I first heard you on the radio, ma'am, I just broke down and cried. I was driving down the street because I had a son. He was 8 years old, and he got killed. He got shot by his friend. He lived 17 days and died. I just want you to know, my heart is your heart. I've stayed in contact through Malachi Walker. I would love to be able to come and talk with you if it's possible. I have people as far as Alabama, Huntsville, praying for our son. I call your son, our 13-year-old, that we're praying for. And I'm praying for you and your family as well. And I just want you to know that off the air, I'll leave my number, and you can call me. It doesn't matter what time, day or night that you call, and I can talk with you and pray with you. And I just want you to know my heart is your heart, and God bless you, and we're praying.
All right, we appreciate that, and I know DeAndre appreciates that. Let me go to Anonymous, 239-1310.
Yes, hello, Amos. I just wanted to say I'm listening to the show on my lunch break, and I'm just shaking, just like the previous caller. I just broke down crying. Just not so much even for the fact of DeAndre, because I'm a believer in God, and I know that he is going to be all right, and praise God that he's still here, but just the fact that people are not coming forward or having the empathy or even the conscience to come forward or let their kids come forward and say anything, any little detail, even if they really don't know anything. So I just wanted to just encourage DeAndre and just let her know that, you know, there are good people in the community who are praying for you and who are empathizing with you. And I know by the grace of God, your son is going to pull through and things will get better. So thank you for taking my call, Amen.
I appreciate that. Mary will be our last caller with DeAndre Yates. Hi, Mary.
Good afternoon to everyone. I would like to read a scripture for DeAndre's mother.
Okay.
Fear others and myself. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and he that shall not be known. That's St. Matthew 10:26. Thank you. and God bless you.
Thank you. And we thank you for that. Anything else you'd like to leave with the people that are listening right now, Ms. Yates?
First, thank you for all the callers and the encouraging words. I really appreciate it. I have a strong faith in God, so I truly believe that my son is still here because of the prayers of the righteous and the faith that me and my family have. So I'm just extremely grateful for still having me, still having DeAndre, because it could have been so much worse. And the pain that I feel, I know it can't amount to what Nicole may feel for not having her son. So even though I have to look at DeAndre and the condition that he's in, I am eternally grateful for still having my son and having the hope and faith that he shall and will recover one day. And I also want to say that there are kids at the party whose parents have allowed them to say something, mm-hmm. although the number is very small. I was told, I was not there, so I was told there was 100 to 150 people at this house party. Mm-hmm. So if only 10 or 12 people have talked, that's just not enough, and this person is still free. I've heard this person is still walking around breathing. I've heard the names. I've heard the school. Mm-hmm. It angers me. That he is possibly still in contact with other people that we know. So it frightens me that there's a small chance that this could happen again because this person is still free. And I wouldn't want another parent to feel anything close to what me or Nicole have gone through. I know that parents may be afraid for their kids' safety. The detective assured me that it's not a retaliation thing here, because even I was a little nervous about talking and things, that it's not a retaliation thing, and that people's kids will be protected if they do allow them to come forth. I wanted to make sure I said that. But just with all that being said, I could beg and I could plead, but if anybody has a real heart, they would do something. Even if you let your kid come forth anonymous, mm-hmm. we need someone to say they saw that person with the gun that night. Mm-hmm. And if there was 150 people in that house and we were told half of the crowd scattered outside because they thought the fight was going to continue outside, however, instead of the fight continuing, shots rang out. At least 75 people were out in the field and they saw that. And that's all we're asking, is for someone to come forth with the name of the person they saw with the gun.
Let me ask this. Do we need for parties being done in a private home? We're not talking about somebody renting a ballroom or renting a restaurant. Do we need to have an educational campaign in this town? If you going to have a party for your kids and your nieces and nephews, here's a checklist of what you need to do. And if the capacity of your house is 40 people, that's all the doggone people that need to be in the house.
Don't post on social media and allow strangers into your home. When DeAndre turned 13 on September 26th, I had him a 13th birthday party. Mm-hmm. We maybe had 10 or 12 kids there. They were his cousins and a few friends from school. Not one time did I ever even think of saying, DeAndre, post it on Facebook. Let's charge $3 and let me make some money by having a party at our
home. There was a charge for this
thing? There was a $3 charge for males. Females were free.
Wow. That's against the law.
Yes.
Wow. Is the homeowner been cited? Because that charging in a private home, that's against the rules of the game.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but...
And I need to tell the listeners that she's accompanied not only by Nicole McGee, but by LaVonda McIntosh and Rachel Robinson. They're with the Soul Solid Riders MC. That means they know how to operate motorcycles and motorbikes safely. And I know one of them wanted to say something.
Yes. I want to say we are in a process of coming up with a fundraiser to raise reward money. Mm-hmm. To not saying that, you know, it's about money, but, you know,
sometimes that loosens lips.
It's an incentive, and we just want to promote.
And this is something that will be the fourth Saturday in July, a peace rally, Ride, Walk, Unite.
Yes.
And if you want more information, the Solid Riders MC is doing that. They want to raise some money, 702-5175, 702-5175, 702-5175. I'm going to let DeAndre Yates go. She's going to go to our sister stations at 106.7 WTLC and Hot 96.3 and kind of, you know, pass that message on. Miss Yates, again, I hate to have met you under these circumstances, but stay strong. God has your son in his hands, and he will survive this. You will survive this. And somebody out there, you know, needs to get right with God, needs to do whatever's necessary. You can call Crime Stoppers at 262-TIPS. So parents, if you're afraid, they can drop that dime anonymously at 262-TIPS. 262-TIPS. Or, you know, call the police and give the information. But we've got to come to grips with this. We've got to get some closure. DeAndre Yates and Nicole McGee and LaVonda McIntosh and Rachel Robinson. Raquel, I was close. Thank you guys for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, remaining moments, you may want to comment more on what you just heard. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's After News. The name is After These.